Welcome, everyone. This is Eric Vidal. Welcome to the Marketing 2.0 podcast channel, where we speak to leading-edge marketing and advertising professionals and talk about how marketing is changing and how communications is changing from a marketing perspective, an advertising perspective, and even a publishing perspective in this new era of social media and conversational marketing. Today, we have Stu Schmidt, Vice President of Solution Sales at Cisco WebEx. Is that correct, Stu? WebEx?
Absolutely correct, Cisco WebEx.
Great combination there. Stu, welcome. And Stu, first of all, how do you see this shift changing the way organizations reach out and communicate and market to their audiences?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, actually, Eric, because there's a number of different shifts going on, but the one that I find kind of interesting, you know, back in the, you know, in the 90s, we were all talking about, hey, you know, the fact is we customers are going to know a lot more about us than they used to the first time they talk to us, because they will already have seen our website, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought about that being, you know, the way the internet is changing things. But the way Web 2.0 is changing it, and the way the conversational marketing is going on now, it's taken it to a completely different level. Now, not only do they know a whole lot more about us than, you know, we think they do, but you know how they know that stuff? They don't know it from just what we say. They know it from what other people are saying about us. So we've got to get involved in that conversation. If we don't get involved in the conversation that other people are having, the community is going to take our marketing program where the community wants to take our marketing program. So I find it a really interesting and, I would say, a fundamental sea change shift in the way people have to message and people have to get involved with the community that's talking about them.
Yeah, definitely, and I agree. And I mean, I think is marketeers or even, you know, advertising consulting people that are helping marketeers communicate and get their message out, we need to be ahead of that game, because I think this is the first time ever where, you know, Web 2.0 technologies are actually starting the shift. It's usually the other way around. Marketing people are always out there on the edge leading that change, but I think the technologies out there are really helping to drive that change.
They are fundamentally driving the change. You know what else is driving the change, Eric?
What else?
12-year-olds. I mean, seriously, you look at, you know, I have kids and they're a little bit older than that now, but the millennials, the next generation coming up, are in this conversation already. This is how they work. The technology has enabled that. We have to understand that is the future of the world. When that next generation hits the workforce, and even before they hit the workforce, that's how they work.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation for another podcast, because I went and picked up my son from the babysitter the other day, and her younger brother, who's about 12, was having multiple conversations at once, and he was playing a video game split screen watching a cartoon called The Family Guy.
Yeah.
And during breaks in between levels in the video game, he was texting. And I was blown away. But anyway, that's another conversation. Tell me, though, how some of those older folks, not the 12-year-olds, but tell me how your clients are trying to deal with these changes, you know, with this market change or with this change in the market.
Okay. Well, you know, what they're realizing is we can't have the conversations the same way we used to. I mean, we cannot be every place. We cannot be face-to-face in front of people. It just doesn't scale anymore. So we have to understand how to blend and integrate with traditional approaches, which I think are still very powerful. There are some things you just simply can't replace, certain face-to-face events. But generally, we have to come up with a blended kind of integrated approach to reaching people. And two of the most common that are happening out there today would be webinars or web seminars. And the other one would be something that is actually a little bit different and typically called webcasts. We at WebEx call it a live stream, but they're fundamentally webcasts. And those are the two main things I see going on in the market.
Stu, quickly, what's the difference between a web seminar and a webcast?
Okay, Eric, there's a couple ways we can talk about that. One is just from a sort of a strategic perspective, what are these things versus the technological approach. And I'll just briefly sort of touch on both of them. In a webinar, basically what you're trying to do is reach as many people as possible in a conversational manner, fundamentally making it educational. I mean, people don't want to join webinars to be sold something. people join webinars because they're going to learn something new about a particular domain of expertise, and that's why they're there. So that's something really important to keep in mind. And typically a webinar is a combination of some sort of visual. It's typical that you do PowerPoint slides or something interactive like that, and audio. And there's the ability for people to, it's a one-way broadcast, by the way, so you don't want 100 or 300 people asking questions live on the telephone, but you do want them asking questions, so you have to have the ability to do Q&A during the session. You have somebody moderating it, and that person, you know, then asks the appropriate question back to the presenter. And that all works very well, actually. It works in a lot of ways better than it does face-to-face, because when you're face-to-face in a conference and you've got 300 people there and somebody steps up to the mic, you have no idea whether they're going to be actually asking a relevant question or whether they're going to stand up and grandstand for 3 minutes.
Still, exactly. I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
In my world now, I do both in-person and online events where I'm speaking to 100, 200, 300 people, and I'm getting lazy. I'm getting used to the online world. I was just 2 weeks ago speaking to 100 people in person, and I always like to start off my session with some questions to gauge the audience and see what they think about different things, but everyone's raising their hand, and I can't get a good feel for what I saw, and I definitely can't remember, was it 32 people or was it just 12? And they can't really either, right?
Right.
So
they can't see
it's in this online world, everything's auto-generated, whether it's Q&A, like you mentioned, but also with surveys, putting together polls and surveys to help educate the audience as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's the webinar approach, and it's very powerful. You have to be aware of the typical enrollment stats and stuff like that. One other key point, by the way, on webinars to keep in mind for everybody out there, don't just market to the people who attended your webinar. In other words, don't limit your thinking of, the leads that I received are the people who actually attended. Everybody's busy today. My schedule is like crazy. Okay, I've got a webinar that I'm supposed to be attending at 10 o'clock this morning. Guess what? A fire comes up, right? A customer I got to talk to. I can't make it. But I'm very interested. So chances are highly likely I'm going to go back tonight at 8 o'clock with a glass of wine in my hand and listen to that webinar. So keep in mind that it's not just the people who attended live who are your leads, but it's also the people who missed it. Go back to them. Make sure you market to them.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And the other thing I'd add to that, Stu, is not just the people who missed it, but the people who attended it. I'd love a link to the recorded session, especially if it's something of interest or value that I can, I'm a little slow. I might need to hear it twice.
Send it around your organization and even get a wider exposure.
Exactly. Forward it on to team members.
So just quickly then on the webcast, because you asked what's the difference. Okay, so a webcast basically is a high-quality streaming video, audio, and typically visuals, PowerPoint, synchronized in extremely high quality, and they're typically used as an extension or a replacement for large events. Typical examples are, let's say, you want to have a CEO all-hands meeting, and you want to get the message out to everybody. If it's a typical company, you just simply cannot bring everybody together in one place. So what do? You put them in their conference rooms in the various locations, and the CEO gets on the phone, and somebody local is showing a PowerPoint. And you know what? It's just not as powerful as being there face-to-face. But if you augment that by having, a 2-3 camera shoot at the location, and then broadcast, and I'm talking high-quality 30 frame per second video, along with that CEO's audio and the PowerPoint slides, the impact of that message is much, much higher. And that's just one typical example of how people are using the webcast approach. And as I said, they're often used as either extensions for these large live events or sometimes even replacements for large live events. People would come into our studio here at WebEx and they would broadcast the message from here and then have it available again, either broadcast it live or have it available for a recording so people can see it later if they couldn't make it in time or in face-to-face. And we have the same kind of capability as far as Q&A back and forth and stuff like that, but it's just a different level of production quality, and one of the big distinctions is they do typically include video.
Yeah, Stu, help me out with something, because
sure.
I've noticed over the last year or so more and more organizations doing what you just mentioned, this a live stream or a live webcast.
Right.
With, you know, leveraging this video. Why is that? Is it because the stronger connections?
It's a stronger human connection. I'll give you a really good example. I was talking to a client a few weeks ago, and partway through the call, I fired up even just standard WebEx video in the meeting. And within 3 minutes, she stopped me and she said, you know, we've had a really good, interesting conversation so far. You know, I think we've developed a bit of a relationship. But she said, you know, in the last 3 minutes, now I think I know you. There's something that happens that is human in nature when you're able to connect with people and show, you know, the passion, show the message, get across who you are as an individual. And if you're, you know, if you're a CEO, if you're a senior person broadcasting a message out, that's a big part of the message, not just the words.
Yeah, definitely, Stu. So help me out. I got a couple of quick questions. One is about cost. So which one is the one that would cost more, a web seminar or a webcast? I would assume a webcast, because that sounds like you're leveraging high-end video and you're probably, there's some production behind that.
Yeah, typically they do cost more, right?
And then,
because the amazing thing is, though, that it's not what you might think. You know, you think about, you know, NBC type studio time, and you're thinking, man, this is going to be like $100,000 every 10 minutes or something. No, this is extremely cost effective. I'll give you just a rough guideline. It's not unusual to broadcast out to, you know, tens of thousands of people an hour long webcast for in the neighborhood of $15,000.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it is cost effective. It's an amazing, when you think about the number of people you can reach and the cost per, you know, reach, it's an amazing technology.
So tell me then, I mean, I'm trying to compare in my head a web seminar, webcast to an actual in-person event. What's the difference there? Is it a similar cost? Is it a fraction of the cost?
Fraction of the cost. And the interesting thing is, if you're already doing an in-person event, take a sales kickoff as an example. The majority of the sales kickoffs I see, you already have a video crew there, right? You've got a video crew because what you're doing is you're taking a video of the main speaker and you're putting it up on the big 30-foot screen so that people in the back, you know, can see the guy's face, right? So that, you know, you're not that far away. If you already have that high production already going on, all you have to do is get a feed from it. And feed it into the, you know, webcast technology, which basically, you know, not to go too far down the technical road, but basically includes like an encoder there on site, and you just feed it into what's called a content distribution network, and then stream it out live and record it at the same time. So
what if somebody's like me, right?
Yeah.
I'm a marketing guy, and I have a lot of hundreds of things going on, and I don't want to I don't even want to bother with that, or I don't want my right-hand person even bother with that. I mean, I take it you guys will come in and do all of it, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's exactly how it should work. You should look at this as a turnkey. You know, how many people do I want to reach? Where are they? How long is the event? Do I want video? Do I want audio? Do I want PowerPoint? Make those decisions and then bring in a company to take care of all that hassle for you. And that's exactly what actually WebEx does with our live stream service.
So, Stu, you mentioned one example, and that was a sales kickoff. Can you
sure.
give me a few others that
your clients are
using the service for?
Absolutely. They go on and on. I mean, there's you know, one where we had a large publishing company who was planning a global book launch. So they did this global book launch with the author, and they live streamed it out. There was a medical department of a major university who needed to reach doctors across a large region. They did a live stream. You know, and the list goes on. There's tons of companies, especially here in the Valley, who are doing all kinds of events where they have to reach either internal or external audiences that are beyond a few hundred. And previously, that was very difficult to do unless you were just going to do audio and maybe PowerPoint. As soon as you start reaching 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, or 10,000, or 30,000, or 100,000, man, what are you going to do? You're going to rent a TV studio? And, you know, so this technology has really changed the whole market and given people the ability to reach those numbers in a very, very high quality way without spending the hundreds of thousands of dollars you might think it would cost.
Yeah, I mean, Stu, first of all, this is great information. The podcast that we've been putting on for the Marketing 2.0 channel, they have really talked about the shift in the change that's going on in marketing and how it affects marketing people inside an organization. We've talked about how it affects the advertising agencies and the consulting firms. We've talked about how it affects the publishers and the people that we buy media from. But I'm really glad that you were able to get a little more hands-on. But what I'd like to do is maybe invite you back to talk about some actual customers and go into even more detail, because I think that this audience would like a little more of a how-to, right? Give me the five steps to just get started on it. So if you're up for that, we'd love to have you back.
I'd love to do that. As a matter of fact, why don't we take a couple of those examples I just mentioned and blow them out a little bit and tell people what these companies and organizations are doing.
That's great. In the meantime, this is Eric Vidal with Marketing 2.0, and thank you very much, Stu Schmidt.
Thank you, Eric. Have a great day.
Thank you.